Hello and welcome to the Slow Evolution Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Engelhardt, and this is the place for all things health and well-being for the busy mom of today. So grab a cup of tea and get ready to be inspired.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode where we will be talking all things postpartum depression. And for today's episode, I'm joined by a fellow mom of a boy and a girl that has suffered from depression since she was 14 years old, as well as from postpartum depression after both her pregnancies. And meanwhile, she is a board member of the Postpartum Depression Society of Switzerland. Please welcome Alex. Today's topic is a very sensitive one and a topic that a lot of people tend to ignore, and I assume leading to a lot of women suffering kind of in silence. So I very much appreciate the fact that you're willing to share your own experience with postpartum depression and really to just raise awareness of this very real and important topic.
Well, I'm very happy to have the opportunity to, raise awareness and take this out of the closet.
Yeah, because, as I said, it's a very taboo topic and a topic that not many people are, willing to talk about it or willing to open up and share their own experience, or not really experience, but their own journey, if I can say so.
Sure. I think that being an American in this sense is an advantage because I'm willing to talk about it openly. I don't have the same feeling of this being a taboo subject as I think a lot of women in Switzerland would have. I grew up talking openly about mental health. So this is not really hard for me, but I can imagine that for a lot of women here, this is just a horrible thing to have to face and come with and then talk about.
Yes. But you're a mom to two kids, and you, as we just said, you're very open about your, depression journey and postpartum depression journey after both your pregnancies. So do you mind sharing a bit more, like, when did it start? When did you know that you're going through something like that?
With both of my children, I knew already in the hospital that I wasn't okay. I, in some ways, was lucky to have already had depressions in my life because I knew, or at least with the first child, I knew what was happening to me. I knew exactly what was happening to me. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm sure for a lot of women, when it starts, they don't know what's happening at all. And it must be like even doubly scary because it must be such a terrifying feeling, like I'm kind of losing control. But so in the hospital, I already knew that I wasn't okay. I had a really traumatic birth with my son, my first child. Everything sort of went not according to the plan that I had in my head. I really was sort of set on having a natural childbirth, and it wasn't natural at all. I ended up having an unplanned cesarean. Then I couldn't breastfeed. I had been separated from him in the hospital, which I still to this day don't really understand why they separated us. But there was a cascade of events that were unplanned and unhappy in the hospital. And I knew, I would say, 3 to 4 days after he was born, and also after my daughter was born, that I was totally not okay, that it wasn't gonna be okay.
Especially when you have your first child, it's anyway such a shock all of a sudden, basically from overnight, your complete world is turned upside down. And then having to deal with something like that is, of course, also very, very scary, especially if you don't know exactly what's happening with you.
Just thinking back on it, I forgot to mention a really important point was that I had also a very serious health scare where I wouldn't stop bleeding after the first birth. That was also it was terrifying. I was terrified in the hospital. So that probably also added or like compounded the problem. I was just bleeding out. Which wasn't discovered until, they had given me the spinal anesthetic, the epidural, to legs numb for the cesarean. And then it wasn't for several hours after the birth that I started to be able to feel my leg. And when I started to feel my legs again, I said to my husband, I think that I peed in the bed. And he said, you did not pee in the bed. You have a catheter. And I said, well, I'm in something really wet. And I didn't feel good, but I sort of expected that I wasn't supposed to feel good.
Right.
And lifted up the bed covers, just like ran out of the...
My God.
Yeah. And then a lot of people ended up in the room very quickly. And there was a lot of activity and terrified faces looking at me. And yeah, that also wasn't good.
Oh no. That's definitely not an experience that you want to go through, especially, you know, with your first child. I mean, it doesn't matter with what number child, but you know, it's really horrifying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I guess having your family all back, you know, this is at least my understanding that you had your family all back in the States.
That's correct. And just now, as I was saying it to you, I felt even like adding, and like I wanted my mom, like I wanted my sister to be with me. I felt really scared and I felt really alone.
Of course, yeah.
There was nobody there. I knew that my mom and dad were coming, but they weren't coming for a couple of weeks.
Right.
I had made their tickets for a couple of weeks after the baby was supposed to be due. So I had to wait a while to see them, and that was also really scary for me. I was also brand new in Switzerland. I had moved to Switzerland in July, and this was November. So
I didn't
have any friends. I didn't have any family.
So how did you deal with all that? I mean, did you have anyone to talk to about?
I know I talked to my mother a lot on the telephone. I had a friend in Konstanz, Germany. I talked to, she had a young child herself. So she, you know, my friends were sort of semi unavailable. My friends from Konstanz were either working or had their own children. And no, I didn't really have anybody to talk to. I had my husband to talk to, but I think he was really overwhelmed with the situation.
And
when you say like, how did I handle it? I didn't really handle it. I did a lot of crying. And I did call my gynecologist several times, and I did tell him, like, I'm not okay. But he didn't really react. It took me several tries to get him to give me the Ubervise for a psychiatrist. I don't know. We tried to get some external help, for like somebody to come in and hang around with me, be alone, because my husband at some point had to go back to work. But that was also extremely expensive, and we just felt like not really doable financially. So I was on my own a lot. I don't know. I would wake up with the baby and just think like, how am I going to get through these hours? How am I going to get through this day? And I would just cry and cry. And then 3 o'clock would roll around, and 3 o'clock was when I really felt like I could call my parents. States. I would talk to them, and then they came and visited, and then they left, and that was terrible.
I can imagine.
And then my mom came back. I told her she had to come and be with me. And when she came, I was okay, but I knew that she had to go back to the United States. And when like, I think about 2 days before she was supposed to go back to the United States, I cried and I said she couldn't leave me. She just could not leave me. I was not going to be okay without her. And then she told my father that he had to come back too. He had to come to Switzerland. So my father came. I don't know. They were really trying to take care of me, but I was inconsolable, and none of the medicine was helping. I had been going to a psychiatrist, but...
So when did you actually get diagnosed?
Well, I was diagnosed probably relatively quickly. Now, you have to remember, this is like 11 years ago. So all the details, I don't really remember. The diagnosis must have been quite quick because, well, not so quick because it took a while to get to a psychiatrist, but I knew what was happening. I knew what was happening. And getting medicine probably took maybe 10 days. And then I was taking medicine, so I must have had a diagnosis within 10 days. But I knew I didn't need a diagnosis. I knew exactly what was happening. You know, I found it really odd. I mean, it's not necessarily helpful to compare the care in the United States to the care in Switzerland. But in the United States, when you are in the acute throes of a depressive episode, you'll go and see your doctor 3 or 4 times a week if it's necessary.
Right.
And you could see your doctor once a week if you were lucky. And doctors here were incredibly, for lack of a better way of putting it, they were really freaked out about anti-anxiety medication. And I had such high levels of anxiety with the depression, which is very common, that you're really scared or that you're really nervous or that you're really jittery. And I needed anti-anxiety medication and they wouldn't give it to me, or they would give me it, but just minimally rationed out so that maybe I could have 2 or 3 pills a day. But 2 or 3 pills a day is not enough. You're then on this crazy roller coaster of feeling okay for like an hour, and then you start to feel worse, and then you start to feel worse, and then you hit like a real low, and you're still waiting for the time that you're allowed to take the next pill, and then you maybe push that out a little bit further because you know if you take the pill as soon as you're allowed to take the pill that you're not going to have enough pills for the whole day. So you get onto this horrible roller coaster of like maybe feeling okay and then feeling progressively horrible until you're in this pit of despair.
Oh my God. So you're not only fighting your kind of mental state and anxiety and so on, but you're also fighting the fact that, you know, or you're worried about the fact that you might not even have enough medication or, you know, pills for the day, which is like horrible.
Which was horrible. But I must say, 7 years later with my daughter, when I had my next depression, I had very specifically said to my doctor, and I had been seeing my doctor all through my pregnancy to make sure that we were on board with what needed to happen if and when the depression came with the second child. I had said to that doctor very clearly, you may not ration anti-anxiety medication to me. Like, I need to have that available to me. And if you're not going to be making it available to me, I need to find a different doctor. And he was like, you're going to have as much medicine as you need to have. The doctors in Switzerland are really concerned about anti-anxiety medication because there is, of course, the possibility that you end up abusing it. It does have an addictive quality to it, and so they're very nervous about you ending up addicted to it. I knew, though, that from all my experience with anti-anxiety medication from the past, that the minute that I didn't need it, I didn't take it. So I said to this doctor, like, please don't be worried about an addiction. It's never happened before. There's no reason to think it's going to happen this time. And I need access to that medication. And he gave it to me and it was amazingly helpful. I had a very good experience with my second doctor, and that whole depression, while it was equally like horrifying in the way that it felt, it was much more aggressively treated. And there was sort of a road plan for how to get through it.
Right. Basically, you didn't want to take any chances and you were much better prepared in the sense that, you know, you knew what happened the first time and you wanted to make sure that you probably have a plan the next time.
Yeah, no, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to breastfeed. So that wasn't an issue anymore. So literally, my daughter was born. I took Dostinex, which is medicine to get your milk to dry up. I bound my breasts really tightly so that the milk wouldn't even come in. And I started taking my antidepressants, I think, while I was still in the delivery room. Like, they gave me snacks and I started my antidepressants, and that was how it started. But you still have, you know, a couple of weeks between usually when you start medicine and when medicine kicks in. And these weeks, that was when the anti-anxiety medication was so important. Yeah, I was not okay and I needed to be treated.
But looking back, I mean, besides the pills, what were some of the things that, you know, helped you in your journey of not only going through the anxiety and so on and the difficult times, but also to, you know, heal in a way?
So the second time, after I had established my life here in Switzerland and I had friends and I had a support group of really of friends and neighbors, that was so I mean, again, I don't want to like diminish how horrifying it was to be Russian, but I had these people that were coming by and I had people to talk to and I had these wonderful friends who still recognized me as being me and weren't afraid of me and weren't afraid to come over. I had this one most wonderful friend who showed up at my door a couple of times and said, okay, put on your shoes, put on your jacket, we're going out. And she would bundle up my baby and she would help me, you know, pack the diaper bag. And she'd say, we're going out. And I did not want to go out. I really didn't want to leave my house. She said, it will be good for you. And she would just sort of take me by the hand. She said, we can do this. Like, we're doing it together and we can do this. And so I felt really blessed to have all these wonderful women in my life. I also felt happy that I had proactively, before the baby came, you know, gotten myself sort of ready for this possibility for it coming back. And I think the first time it happened to me, there wasn't so much that helped me heal. The first time was just really horrifying. I know that's not necessarily what people want to hear, but it's the truth. It's the truth of how it happened. It's my truth. It was the worst, most traumatic time of my life, and it took a really, really, really long time to get through that.
Well, because I think, as we said, I mean, it's not only the depression, but you know, all of a sudden your whole world is turned upside down. You have the baby. You're not only, you know, for yourself, but you got to take care of this little baby that, you know, really needs you all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's a whole different world that, you know, even for somebody that is not going through a postpartum depression, it's a difficult time just in terms of figuring out, okay, what am I doing? What's happening with my life? You know, this right. new reality. And then all of a sudden also going through to a depression like this, I can imagine is terrifying and very difficult.
It's horrible. I mean, having a depression alone is terrifying. Mm. Having baby without a depression, although I've never had that, so I can't really say. I can imagine you're exhausted, you're overwhelmed, you are trying to figure out your new reality, your new routine, your new role in life as a mother. So I can't imagine it's easy, but put a layer of depression on top of it, and there's no way to get through that without help. So my advice, I suppose, to any mother who's feeling like this is all those people that say, like, let me know if there's anything that I can do to help you. Let them know. Let them know that you don't feel good and that you do need help. Let someone bring you something to eat. Let someone come over and fold your laundry for you. Let somebody come over and cook a meal in your house. Let somebody clean things up. Like, really use those people who offer. I mean, most people who offer help don't offer it if they don't really want to do it. People like to be helpful. I know that when I offer help, I really mean it. And I think most people do.
Yes.
And don't, I guess my advice would be just don't hide it. In my case, I wasn't hiding it, but I didn't have any friends the first time. I didn't have anybody to help me except for when my parents came.
And I also think, just as we said, I think it's such a still, you know, like mental health, depression, postpartum depression, anxiety, and all these, you know, different variation of mental, what can I call it? Mental illness? I don't know.
Mental illness, that's what it's called, mental illness, sure.
Yeah, I think that it's still such a taboo topic, and such a, you know, that so many people are, as I said, probably suffering in silence and afraid to open up and say, hey, listen, I'm drowning, I really need help, you know, with a child or without a child. I think it doesn't matter, but I think there is still this kind of like stigma around this subject, where people just, you know, are afraid, in a sense, you know, afraid to open up and talk about it and really say, listen, I'm not okay, I need help.
There is a terrible stigma here about it. It really saddens me. And I also, it's funny when I hear people talking about how they had a burnout. I'm like, you were really, you were depressed. Like,
yes.
To say that, you know, it's okay it's okay. But if you talk to people, if you start really talking to people, you'll hear everybody has this somewhere in their family, somebody, you know, they'll sort of whisper about when Aunt so-and-so was not feeling so good and had to take a couple of months and had to go on and take a cure or something like this.
Yeah.
And it's because she was depressed. Why are we tiptoeing about around this? Like, it's not something to be ashamed of. In fact, saying I'm not okay and getting help is brave. It's brave to ask for help. And it's really smart for you and for your child, because the faster you're well, the faster you can have like a really wonderful, meaningful relationship with your child. And your child really needs you to get healthy. So looking for the help, for the support that you need, is a really brave step in the right direction. And I think people undervalue that or somehow feel like people are going to judge them. And I'm sure that there are people out there who are going to judge you, but those aren't people you necessarily want in your life anyhow.
Exactly. And they're going to judge either way. You know, if they want to judge, they will find something to judge about, you know. So
they'll judge you even if you're the best mother on earth, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
You are being the best mother on earth when you're getting the help that you need. That's being a good mother. That's being a smart person, like using the resources that are available to you to do the best that you can.
That's
smart and brave.
And it's, at the end of the day, it's nothing really to be ashamed of. You know, it's nothing to have to hide.
That's in an ideal world, that's how it would be. It would be something that you didn't hide. It would just be something that was happening to you. Like if you got sick with anything else that was happening to your body, it would be something that you would just share with people, you know. If you break your leg, that's not something that you have to hide from anybody. If you break your leg and then you need crutches to get around, that's not something that you hide. Like if I do not feel good and I need to go to a doctor so that I can get around, so that I can function in my life, that's not something that I need to hide.
Exactly. Yeah.
I certainly hope that that would become the day-to-day reality here and everywhere, so that people could more easily navigate. I mean, this is a hard enough thing to be dealing with when all the other factors are good. But you know, when you have this taboo situation, it's just, I don't know, it's just so horrible. I feel like it's getting better, or maybe I just have really, really good friends. But I feel like I talk about this now openly, and the more openly I talk about it, the more I hear from so many people, oh yes, my sister. Oh yes, my cousin. Oh yes, me. Oh, that happened too.
Yeah, so, and that's why I appreciate so much the fact that, you know, you take the time to talk to, you know, to share your story on the podcast, because, you know, I really very much hope that with this episode we can, you know, kind of inspire the women and moms that are going through something like this to, you know, to open up, to look for the help, to talk about openly, that there is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of or to feel bad or, you know. So that's really, I very much hope that with this episode we can achieve that and just inspire, as I said, as many moms as possible that going through a difficult time and difficult emotional time and so on.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, that is really our mission, and my personal mission and the mission of the Postpartum Depression Society of Switzerland. We want this to be something that people talk about openly, and we want healthcare providers to know about this. Just not just psychiatrists, but you know, everybody from the psychiatrist to the gynecologist to the pediatricians, to the mother-father advice point, the midwives, the doulas, the people in the maternity ward at the hospital, so that this is something that everybody knows about, everybody's aware is happening. And then, of course, all your, you know, people in your group of friends, that someone's going to say, like, hey, you don't seem okay, or can I help you? That this will be something that's talked about. And then once you know, okay, I do need help, that you know where to go to find help. That is not something that's, you know, buried underground somewhere. I think our website is such a great resource for people wondering, like, am I okay? Am I not okay? You can read so many stories. You can do the Enberg scale to see. I don't know if you know about the Enberg scale, but on the website is a resource. There's actually like a survey that you can take, and you get a certain amount of points. And if you have a certain amount of points, it means in the end, like, yeah, no, you're not really okay, and you should really go and talk to a doctor. And then on the website, you can also find a doctor in your area that specializes in postpartum depression, and you can get the help that you need.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love the work that you're doing. I personally have never gone through something like this. I've never been treated for depression or postpartum depression or so, but I imagine it's something, as I said, really horrifying and horrible. So I very much admire the work that you're doing. And I will make sure that I link in the website, you know, below the actual episode. But maybe you can also share what's the website address.
It's postnatal-depression.ch.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I'll make sure, as I said, I'll make sure that I link it. But is there actually a statistic of how many women suffer or go through a postpartum depression?
Sure, there are statistics. They used to say that they thought about 15% of women suffered from a varying degree of postpartum depression. But in the last couple of months, I believe that they've said they think that that's actually not, that number is not high enough, but they think it's actually more like 30%.
But is that only in Switzerland or in the world?
I think that you probably have higher rates of postpartum depression in Western sort of developed countries because you have a lot more isolation.
That's true, yeah.
The more isolated you are, the more you're probably not living with your mom and your grandmom and your you know, brothers, sisters, cousins, nieces, nephews, whatever. You know, you don't have this extended family right down the street from you. The less support you have, the more this is probably a huge issue. So I don't know what the statistics would be for somewhere, I don't know where, but here for sure, Switzerland, we were just discussing this the other day. Yeah,
which is, you know, if you think about it, it's quite it's a high number. I mean,
it's an extremely high number, and in fact that number makes it the absolute most common complication of childbirth that there is. This is really common, and that's why it's actually so incredibly sad that it's not really dealt with as it should be. I mean, women who have other complications from childbirth that are physical are treated much more expeditiously than with this.
It's really sad. It's probably, you know, the real difference is that, you know, physically it's, you know, you can see that something is not, I mean, like visually see with your eyes that, you know, you were bleeding and you're not okay. But I think mentally for a lot of people it's just difficult to accept the fact that, you know, you do suffer or you do have a difficult, you know, moment that you're going through, a depression or whatever, just because it's so, you know, you see the person, but you can't really see, you know what I mean?
You don't see a wound. You don't
exactly
see something that you need to take care of for that second. And that is true. Lots of women are doing their very, very best to keep a smile on their face, to keep it all together.
Oh, I know. I know.
Really know. In my case, it was very obvious to anybody who had 1 minute to listen to me. I cried all the time. And I'm hiding it from anybody. So, like, when I went to my doctors and said, like, I need help, they there was a very obvious wound. I was really shocked the first time around because I went to several pediatricians while trying to figure out which pediatrician to actually use for my son. Mm-hmm. They all saw me crying and didn't say anything. I went to the Mutterväterberatung and saw me crying, and they didn't say anything. My gynecologist, like I said, it took a lot of times calling over to that office to finally get them to refer me. I don't know if it happened the same way now, 10 years later, but it certainly would be a shame if it did.
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, hopefully not, hopefully not. And, you know, with the wonderful work that you guys at the Postpartum Depression Society of Switzerland are doing, I certainly hope that, you know, more and more, not only women, but as you said, you know, professionals in whether it's doctors or pediatricians or whatever, are more aware of this and more sensitive, really, to this topic.
Mm-hmm. And yes, also on the website are resources for relatives. I mean, there are husbands, partners, mothers, fathers, people who, you know, wish they had some information about what to do now with my child, that they can find that there. What's going on with my wife? What's going on with my partner? How do I help her?
Exactly. How do I go about it? How do I help? How do I support?
And not only that, how do I help myself? Because in my case, my husband was really, really overwhelmed. And I wish that he himself had somebody to talk to, because it was traumatizing for him just to watch me like falling apart. He did not know what was going on with me. He did not know what was happening. And he also had no idea that I was going to be okay again.
Well, of course, especially if you have never dealt with something like this, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're put in that situation, you don't know really what to expect, or you don't know how it's going to develop or how it's going to continue. So
it's certainly scary for the person who's experiencing it, but it's also scary for all the people around. You know, the inner circle is witnessing this sort of disaster, this train wreck happening, and they don't know how to stop it or how to help. But there are resources available for those people too.
Yeah. No, I can only repeat myself. I think that the work that you guys are doing is wonderful in raising awareness, and Alex, thank you so much for taking the time again and to share your own story and experience. It's very much appreciated. And to our audience, thank you so much for listening. I hope that with today's episode, as I already said, we get to inspire many moms and moms to be, you know, are going through a depression or postpartum depression or just difficult emotional period, to really open up and talk to somebody and just know that they're not alone, and to actively look for help and for support, and simply to know again that they're not alone, and this is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of.
No, and the one last thing that I'd like to add, in addition to thank you for having me, is that for anybody who happens to be going through this right now, just remember, and somewhere in the back of your head, if you can, you're going to be okay. It has an end point, and you will be okay. You'll be the person that you were before again, and even better.
Oh, this is great advice. Thank you so much, Alex, for your time and for sharing your experience. It's very much appreciated.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening and for being here. It truly means the world to me. I would love to connect with as many of you as possible, so let's connect on Instagram. You can find me at Slowolution for your daily dose of healthy living inspiration. If you feel inspired by this episode and want to learn more about all things health, well-being, and motherhood, be sure to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. This way, the podcast can reach and inspire even more moms and moms-to-be. And make sure you stay tuned for the many upcoming exciting episodes. Wish you all a lovely week.